my friends. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week we have robots. Yes, we're taking you on a little robotic adventure. Fish Fry field reporter Lara Morris is here to guide you through all of the rabid robotic rambunctiousness that is this year's Robo Universe. She's talking about cobots, whether robots will be our overlord someday. I mean, probably, but let's hear her out first, okay? And even a little bit about Model A, a brand new personal autonomous device from 5D Robotics. First up, cobots. What are they? What do they do? And are they really going to take over our jobs? Please welcome Scott Mabee from Universal Robots, who is here to explain all of this and more.
I am here at Robo Universe with Scott Mabee of Universal Robots. Thank you so much for joining me today, Scott.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate being part of your podcast.
So, Scott, you guys pioneered cobots. So would you mind telling our audience a bit about what a cobot is and a bit about Universal Robots?
So cobots are a technology which is a six-axis robot. It's extremely collaborative. So what does collaborative mean? That means it's very easy to use, very easy to program, easy to install, easy to redeploy or reinstall, and are inherently safe in that they have force sensing. So if they bump into you or something, an operator, it'll stop and you can just restart the program. It's very, very simple. Universal Robots were a Danish company. The founders were working at a university in Odense, Denmark in 2005. And since that time, we essentially went commercial in 2009, 2010, and we've now shipped over 8,000 robots around the world. So it's a real product. We're actually very proud of that.
And how do you see robots and cobots integrating into our economy and workforce? And, you know, be honest, are they going to come and take all of our jobs?
Yeah. So that's one of the questions we get all the time. That's like a really big, it came up today. I was doing a session earlier. And no, they won't. Matter of fact, there's been quantitative data that's been done to show that as robots grow, jobs grow as well. They're on the same track. So that's good to know. The other part of that is that we see that robots help take care of the tasks and the jobs that people don't necessarily want to do. What a lot of times they refer to it as the three Ds, the dirty, the dull, and the dangerous. Those are the jobs for the robot. Those are the things that most people just don't want to do. And the other part of that is that the robots, the collaborative robots especially, are so easy to use and so easy to program and set up and get running. An operator can actually have a robot set up at their station and, you know, in less than 20, 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer sometimes. And the operator who did that task before can now program the robot to maybe take parts in and out of a machine tool or something else. So suddenly now that person has elevated their job skills. They're now a robot programmer or robot technician versus having to bring in a high-priced robot programmer before. The people that best know how to load and unload that machine are the ones doing the programming.
That's very cool. And since we like to end things with kind of a fun, off-the-cuff question, I'll keep it robot-themed for Robo Universe. Do you have a favorite pop culture robot from movies or books or television?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to age myself, but there's probably two. There's the Jetsons, and then there's Lost in Space. And I'm trying to remember the names of those robots. It was Rosie. Yeah. What a great robot. Yeah. And very collaborative, I might add. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like the HAL 9000, but maybe not the best collaborator.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Next up, let's bring in Jeff Bernstein, president of the Association for Advancing Automation. Lara and Jeff are chatting about the trends in automation, where we can get ourselves some help with our next automation project, and yes, whether robots will be actually taking our job someday. Check it out.
I am here with Jeff Bernstein, president of A3. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jeff.
Pleasure to be here.
So we've been hearing for decades that robots are going to come and take all of our jobs, but you actually think that increasing automation is good for our economy and may actually lead to more jobs in the workforce. So could you tell us more about that?
Sure. I've been hearing it for over 30 years that I've been involved in the robotics industry, that robots are going to replace people and nobody will have a job. And I think what's missing from that is that we're really good at seeing what's happening today. And we see the technology and we believe that, oh my gosh, this is a threat. But what we're not so good at is seeing what the opportunities that are being created are. And what we find is that if we look over time, technology has often changed the nature of jobs, but it has always led to more jobs. And the people who say it's different this time, I just don't agree with.
And you are the president of the Association for Advancing Automation. Can you tell us more about the organization?
Sure. The Association for Advancing Automation is here to try and educate companies about the benefits of robotics and machine vision and other high technologies, and to help them successfully apply those technologies. We're also here to educate the public and to make sure they understand the benefits that are going to be created by these technologies in terms of making us have better jobs, safer jobs, jobs that allow us to use our brains and not our brawn, and to make our lives better and longer lives and more satisfying. And again, I think if we look at the future of this country and people around the world, automation is going to make our lives so much better in the future.
And what particular trends are you seeing in automation? Things lately that make you excited that you think are super interesting?
One of the key trends that we're seeing is that wherever the use of automation is on the rise, unemployment is falling. So it's just the opposite of what people think. So we're already starting to see that automation is creating new and better jobs. And we're seeing the excitement of young people to enter this field. Programs like the FIRST Robotics Program and VEX Robotics have created so much excitement among students of all ages that we believe that more advances are coming. And then you see how the technology is spreading outside the factory, which was its traditional roots. And we're seeing it impact all areas of our lives. Medical robotics are making great strides. So if you look at the opportunities with things like driverless cars or drones, underwater robotics, all these things offer tremendous opportunities for us.
Okay, so let's say that I'm ready to start automating. Where should I go? What kind of resources are out there for me?
We welcome you to come start with us. Our website, the a3automate.org, is filled with great stories of small and medium-sized companies who have automated in order to become stronger global competitors, and as a result, increased employment at their companies. So we have a great website with all kinds of videos and information about why you should automate. And then when you're interested in how, we have many other websites of people who make robots, what the leading products are, or machine vision systems, or motion control. And so we have great websites. And we have all kinds of trade shows and conferences that we do, standards that we've developed, certification programs. So it's a really great place to start.
And just to kind of end with a fun, off-the-cuff type question, do you have a favorite robot from pop culture, book, movie, TV?
Actually, I do. I saw the movie Her, and I just fell in love with it. And I felt like every robotic system in the future ought to have Scarlett Johansson's voice.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. It was really great to meet you.
Pleasure.
And finally, let's dive deeper into the sea of automation. In our last interview from RoboUniverse 2016, Lara talks with Phil Mann from 5D Robotics about their newly unveiled collaboration with Will, the Model A personal autonomous device.
I am here at RoboUniverse with Phil Mann of 5D Robotics. Thank you so much for joining me today, Phil.
Very good to meet you. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at 5D Robotics, and we're here to talk about our technology and solutions with a real and new smart mobility wheelchair.
Great. And just as an overview for our audience who may not know, tell us about 5D Robotics and what you guys do.
So 5D Robotics is about precise navigation and positioning, doing it repeatable, doing it reliable, and doing it safely. We're actually agnostic of the robot. So our navigation solutions, it can go on drones, it can go on cars, it can go into trucks, it can go onto wheelchairs. We've got real examples of taking forklifts that have no intelligence and then making them autonomous vehicles in a microcosm of a smart city.
And you guys are collaborating with Will in the development of the Model A personal autonomous device. So can you tell us more about this, and in particular, some of the hardware and sensors you guys have got going on in this?
Most certainly. So Will is a standalone company. They're the OEM for the Model A wheelchair. It's an electronic wheelchair for getting people around from A to B. Very ergonomic, very smooth. Lots of people here at the conference have been driving it for fun, and I think we've sold a few of them to grandparents, grandfathers, and family members. 5D Robotics' contribution and our cooperation with Will is then to take it from being driven by the individual on the wheelchair to full autonomous driving. We're actually showing a video of an application where a train pulls up for public transportation. An individual now needs to get to their car, so they would get into this wheelchair, and instead of driving it themselves, the chair would drive itself, you know, to a particular location, in this case to their car, and then return back to the train station for the next passenger. How do we do it? So 5D Robotics, we're a software company with this behavior engine, and we take in all types of inputs, GPS, LiDAR, dead reckoning, inertial sensors, all of that to give you your position and to control the vehicle itself. Second, we've developed a new sensor. It's using ultra-wideband radios. And those ultra-wideband radios, you can have follow me, where an individual would have this radio tag on them and the wheelchair would follow you. You could take a warehouse or a building or an airport and you could put these radio tag infrastructure around the wheelchair. And the fascinating part is you get 2 centimeter precision inside where you are. So as another example, a customer of ours, United Rentals, is using it for forklifts to get their forklifts on their yard. They're renting this equipment to get it on their yard onto a truck. That truck, then when they drive it off to a customer, when the truck comes back, then the forklift would drive itself off and park. The other exciting attribute of using ultra-wideband is it solves a lot of gaps in sensors. So ultra-wideband, the solution. I've told you about accuracy. GPS is only 3 to 6 meter accuracy, but it doesn't work indoors. Ultra-wideband can work indoors. Ultra-wideband works in the rain, the snow, the fog, very heavy dust conditions. So you have all of these attributes that these other sensors either get confused in or don't work as well in. When you want that super accuracy of 2 centimeters, the only limitation is you have this 200 meter range. So you could have 4 radio beacons covering about 12,000 square meters. And other than that, you know, we're off.
Cool. And I know a lot of our audience will know about the Google self-driving car. And I was curious, where do you think autonomous vehicles are headed in the future? And kind of thinking beyond a car on a freeway.
Well, so thinking beyond a car in the freeway. So you have the Google car. What's really fun about that is that they are putting every bit of intelligence in the car. So the car has to know absolutely nothing about the environment that it's in and operate to itself. But it's very difficult to do. It has a high cost with it. On the other spectrum, you could have all of the autonomous vehicles talking to each other. So if each vehicle knows where each other one is, miss and don't have any hits. So a great analogy is in the human world, when we're ever in a city, there's all kinds of infrastructure. Road signs, directions, no right turn, stop on a red light. There's all of these instructions for humans to get around, and we still kind of mess that up every now and again. But imagine we built an environment for a robotic world. So here you get into some of this infrastructure where you'd have all of this positioning. And if you have every position down to this, you know, really detailed, precise level, like a couple of centimeters, think of everything that you can do. Where are the people? Where are the wheelchairs? Where are the buses? But the more futuristic of it is, let's come to a real example. An industrial example with forklifts being able to move around by themselves, interact with people, not crash into them. And you have additional services that could get built off of that. And if you know where all the equipment is and what it's doing, it's why, is there more efficiencies? And you boil that all the way down to what we're showing here at Robo Universe with the wheelchair. It could drive by itself on the sidewalk. A person or pilot, I say pilot, but someone driving it could take it over. I think the real answer is if everything is communicating with everything else, the sky's the limit. And the beauty of 5D is it's this one application of the precise navigation, and it cuts across all of this stuff. Industrial forklifts, logistics houses, you know, moving containers around, mapping and inspection with drones, you know, flying overhead, but they know where they are very precisely, even having drones, you know, fly by themselves, automotive, self-parking, and then smart mobility, smart cities, sky's the limit.
And just to end things with sort of our fun off-the-cuff question for Robo Universe, I was asking people, do you have a favorite fictional robot that you like?
I do. It's changed very recently. So I'm older, I'm a Star Wars geek, and the BB-8 is pretty cool because it did lead us to find Luke Skywalker. And who is Rey?
That's great. Thank you so much for talking to me today about 5D and your new wheelchair and autonomous vehicles. It's been great.
Fantastic. Very good to meet you, and glad we could do this.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, well, the clock is ticking on that bad boy. No, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. And we also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And remember, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. As always, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 15th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.